Welcome to Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Catherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Catherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Catherine Lang.
Hello, and welcome to Growing Hope. I am your host, Catherine Lang, and I want to thank you for taking the time to join me in this journey of hope and inspiration. And I want to thank you, Suzanne, for such a warm introduction and for taking the time to be an encouragement in my life and a support in my life. And in reality, that is really what I want to be for you. I want to be one more layer of hope and encouragement for your day. So I just ask you to grab your favorite beverage, a hot tea, a cup of coffee, and let's sit down and let's share some encouragement for the next hour. I know that in my own life, I need a little bit of extra encouragement and support to get my day started. And sometimes I get that through shows on the different radio programs that I listen to online, like Strategy Radio with Tony Marino. That's a great way for me to start my day. And sometimes it's other women who share hope and inspiration on their own stations. Sometimes it is just the hope and encouragement that's fed to me through Facebook and through Twitter and through my own website. Just having that little connection with folks is what gets me going and sometimes what keeps me going. So I would love for you to visit me over at www.catherinelang.com and share your own stories of encouragement and hope and just all that positive and uplifting that will feed into our spirits. Sometimes I get what I need from being able to share with you on this radio program, on my website, on my feeds. That's just how hope and encouragement work. When you give out a little bit of hope and a little bit of encouragement through that strength of the Spirit and in the honesty of that love, then that hope and that encouragement grow and they find their way back to you. It's a wonderful, wonderful cycle. And I want to be a part of that cycle in your lives and through your lives. Everything worth doing and worth having begins with that element of hope. And it grows into fullness through the nourishment of encouragement. But I can't get any of that unless I first start by building and growing relationships. You know, we are designed to be in relationships with God and with one another. So we're going to start with that, and then we're going to grow that hope and encouragement together. We are blessed to live in a place where we can be de-stressed. No stress should find its way into the hearts and the minds of the children of God, but so often that's where I find myself. According to Merriam-Webster, stress is a force or an urgency or a pressure. It's what occurs in objects that are bearing the weight. So I have to ask you, are you bearing the weight of your life? I know there are days when I choose to bear the weight of my life. Right now, if you have a pen or a pencil, great. If you don't, grab one, because I have a challenge for you. I want you to write down on a piece of paper that you don't mind getting rid of, or that you don't need. This is not something that you want to take back. So I want you to write down your three biggest worries or concerns in your life right now at this moment. This is not something that you will have to send to me. This is not something that you will have to share with others. This is all for your own focus. Now, while you're writing, I'm going to continue to talk, because I found that in my own life, stress begins with the process of worry. It comes when I start fretting over something like, I know people are coming to my house, so I really start worrying about getting everything picked up and cleaned up. Or I worry about getting those bills paid because, mainly, I know how much stress and worry it puts on my husband trying to figure out how we're going to get those bills paid. Or I worry about that next outfit, that outfit I wanted to wear to that event that we're attending. Or more importantly, will I fit into that outfit I wanted to wear to that event? The worry begins to manifest itself in my life through physical and emotional and mental reactions. I've been known to get snappy with my family, with my church family, with that poor little guy in the poor clerk at the grocery store. I become withdrawn from folks, and I want to just hide out in my room. I might even become a little panicked about the situation. We all have our own responses to this barrage, to the barrage of what ifs, to the stress, to the frets, to the worries that do come along. Getting rid of stress in your life is possible, and it's simple if looked at correctly. But you know, stress wants to hang on. That's its job. Stress wants to keep you off track. That's its job. Getting rid of stress is not always easy, despite the simplicity. See, all you have to do to get rid of stress is to eliminate worry. Now, I hope you're thinking about your biggest worries and your biggest concerns, because they're going to be important in just a few minutes. Yes, I know, getting rid of worry does not sound simple. I know in my own life that it has taken practice to not be under that stress and that strain most of the time. But I've discovered that the things that I think about and the things that I choose to focus on, those have the most weight in my life. They actually begin to drive my life. When I was planning my wedding a couple of decades ago, I read magazines about weddings. I talked about weddings. The wedding was my life. It was everything. And, you know, that is how stress works. It comes to life. It is brought to fruition when the focus is on the negative things that might occur or could occur, or sometimes even those things that we know are going to occur, but we meditate on them and meditate on them until they become the driving force of the day. And that begins to give birth to stress that shows itself in my body and in my life. It was interesting to me as I was doing a study of stress that Merriam-Webster defines worry as being mangled with teeth. I mean, that is the perfect visual and emotional representation of what happens to you when you're under worry. The word comes from an old English word that is spelled W-Y-R-G-A-N, and it actually means to strangle. I mean, do you ever feel that the worries of your life are actually strangling the life right out of you? Maybe you have faced down your worry only to feel like you came out on the other side mangled by its teeth. Living in worry and through worry will exhaust your body, your mind, and your spirit. Stress strains. That is its job. When you allow stress and worry to stand in your life, you put your body into overdrive. It becomes that fight or flight instinct. Chemicals are released that raise your heart rate and give you that burst of energy that allows you to react without thought. But for me, anytime I react without thought, I come out on the other side not in a good place. But even if the results of my choices are not bad, the condition that I put my body in by constantly being in that fight or flight reaction is bad. Pushing the body to extreme moments over and over and over again is not good for it, because a body or a mind or a spirit that is held under the continued force of stress will crack. Did you know that too much stress in your life will make it difficult for you to think correctly under even normal circumstances? Because the brain has issued so much of the chemicals, that fight or flight chemical, from the stress in your life, that now the process of just thinking becomes cloudy. Did you know that too much stress can cause your emotions to become raw? Because people that have been under the constant weight and pressure from stress tend to cry easier, lose their tempers faster. Basically, they become unpredictably emotional, even to themselves. God, why did I do that? I'm crying at commercials. What am I thinking? Did you know that too much stress can actually cause your skin to have issues? Your face starts to break out. It can lose that nice, healthy glow. It can even become cracked and wrinkled. And who of us out there want to be more cracked and wrinkled? Look, I can go on and on about the physical results that are caused from stress. But hopefully you're catching on. Stress makes you feel worse and look worse. Stress and worry do nothing positive for your life because that is their design. They are tools of the enemy. I want a lot of things in my life, but I can want them until the cows come home. But as long as I'm getting mired down in stress and worry, I will struggle to take that next step. In all of the things that I look at and in all the situations that I face, my first response has to be one of the word. Do you happen to know what the word says about stress and worry? Philippians 4 reminds us that we're not supposed to be anxious, and you can translate that to worry. You're not supposed to be anxious about anything. It says, Scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I bet it was easy for someone to write these words. It's a simple direction to follow. Pray about it. Don't worry. Be happy. But you know, I don't think that that's what Paul was saying. Even if that is what people say he said, he's not saying not to worry. What he's saying is that when you have that personal, intimate relationship with God, that you first pray, you spend and invest time in prayer, and you pray until you get to a place of thanksgiving. And when you get to that place of thanksgiving, then you make your request known to God, and then you are so settled in that relationship with God that worry has no right in your life. It's so much more than just not worrying. It's about building that foundation that then builds into a fortress that keeps worry from breaking in. 1 Peter 5 shows how cares and worries can interfere in our rest and having that comfort of God surrounding us. Without that rest, without that comfort of God surrounding us, the enemy now has an opportunity to pounce. The Scripture says, cast all your anxieties, remember, that's worry, on Him, on God, because it is God that cares for you. But you have to choose to be alert and of sober mind. You need to be aware and on the watch. The enemy, the devil, the adversary is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Recently, I finally made the connection between these two verses. Casting cares away is a process. It starts with prayer, that open, that honest communication with God about the situation that I'm facing. You know, I keep communicating with God, sometimes that screaming at Him, sometimes rolling my eyes at Him, sometimes crying out in pain or sighing out of frustration, but always communicating with Him until the moment that the peace pours in and I can begin to communicate and to pray from a place of thanksgiving. But I have to keep in mind that it's the little things that slither in, those small concerns or worries that I voice without a concern or without a second thought. Those are the things that manage to crack open the door and let the enemy in. I have to continually watch my words and guard my thoughts and be vigilant to what I allow in so that I can continue to stand. The world is trying to crowd out the word. The world is trying to create chaos and havoc. The world is always at work trying to distract me and break my focus. Only one thing will keep the world out, and that is the word. Continuous feeding in the word will provide the faith that I need to move forward and to drive out stress. Hebrews 11:1 reminds me that it begins with faith. And faith really is just the substance of things hoped for. There's that hope and the evidence of things not seen. You know, I may not understand it. I may not ever get to see the outcome. I may even think that it is just a little bit crazy. But when I have become so founded in the Word and so focused on that relationship with God, and I have built my fortress, that foundation has come up around me through that word, then I will be guarded against the stress and against that worry that can make it so difficult for me to step out. I become free to move forward in faith. So the core of my stress comes from worry, and worry is crushed by that unwavering faith grounded in the Word. So it really is simple. The Word. The Word eliminates the worry. Now, you know, I am daring to live a life that is peculiar to a lot of people because it is filled with peace and contentment that's been laid out by my Father. I'm just choosing to live in it. And I am daring you to join me in that journey. Right now, I want you to start by taking that piece of paper, the three biggest worries or concerns, and I want you to hold them up in your hand and pray with me. Lord, I know what these words say, but I know that your word is greater than any of them. I know what the world tells me, but I know that your word has overcome all that the world will ever throw at me. Today, I ask that you give me the wisdom to grow so bold in you, in your words, that these worries and concerns crumble just like this paper. Amen. Now, crumble up that paper. Begin to find the word that will let you hold to the truth of that crumbled paper. Nothing you had written is more powerful than God. Nothing you had written can take away from His promises. Nothing you had written cannot be overcome by what was done for you on the cross. Start feeding that word into your heart and into your mind so much and so often that it becomes the only thing that you can see when you wake up and when you shut your eyes. Because where your focus is, that will become what you believe, what you live, and what you see. We're going to continue this life of being, this journey of being blessed to be distressed on the other side of the break. I look forward to seeing you there.
This is Mason Hawks of the United Earth Central Corps. I've encountered an unidentified spacecraft that has refused to answer all attempts to communicate. It has reacted in a hostile manner and launched several combat fighters to engage me. My ship is damaged and I'm not going to make it, so I've done a memory scan and embedded it in this transmission. Please. I'm not sure how I got here or even where here is.
Can you boost the signal?
I woke up in the wreckage of a crashed shuttle. Is anyone receiving this? Can anyone out there hear me?
The relay satellite has been destroyed. My signal's too weak.
If you can hear this, you've got to warn Earth. we are being invaded. The aliens that shot down my shuttlecraft plan to take over UCC territory. I'm stranded on this primitive backwater planet and trapped in some kind of experimental biosuit. We are being attacked by some sort of...
There's just too many of them!
...sort of shape-changing alien beings. If you are receiving this, please, relay the warning to Earth.
Stars of the Conry by S.P. Dorning. Ask for it at your local bookstore or order it on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble today. Audio produced by SpiritBlade.net. Christian sci-fi and fantasy. Unsterilized, unsafe, unleashed.
Are you a writer searching for your place in this ever-changing publishing industry? We've been there, and we want to help you navigate these waters. Peculiar Productions began as a support for authors between authors. Along the way, we've met and connected with editors, designers, and formatters. In each of the new connections, we discovered hearts hungry to pursue their passions. Peculiar Productions is a new company that seeks to help individuals match their unique gifts and talents with the needs of others. As a writer, you can pursue the indie path with our help and encouragement. Learn more at www.pqproductions.com. That's www.pecuproductions.com.
Growing Hope, where we are creating hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. Welcome back. You are live with Growing Hope and me, your Rainbows and Lollipops host, Catherine Lang. I took some time during the break to look at that crumbled up piece of paper and to really think about that piece of paper and the worries and the concerns that I had written on it. And I will tell you, I've done this exercise in the past. And in the past, I've also picked that paper back up, smoothed it back out, and taken on the responsibility, the burden that was on this piece of paper that I crumbled up just a few minutes before. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm not alone in this whole taking it back up and smoothing it back out issue, especially when it comes to dealing with family or just dealing with children. We know that God can handle it, but we don't really accept that in our knowers, if you know what I'm saying, that settled down into us complete comfort and peace in the moment about the issue. We have to do something. We have to fix something. We have to make it better. But I know that if I really want God to have this out of my life, to have this situation, then I have to truly let it go. And to settle into that place of let go. Now, saying I let it go is pretty easy. Sometimes letting it go is pretty easy. But actually releasing it for good, that is where the challenge comes in. And that's where oftentimes I find myself slipping. I was reminded recently that I will become what I choose to focus on. If I want to focus on the cares and the worries, then those cares and the worries become my life. If I want to let go of those cares and those worries, then I have to turn my attention away from the circumstances, from those very issues that are causing the worry, and I have to put my attention on the one that calms the storms. I think of Peter here. He was bold enough that when he saw a man walking across the water in front of him, he said, "If that is you, Jesus, then ask me to come to you." He was even bold enough to jump out of the boat and to start walking towards Jesus. That's boldness and that's faith that I want in my life. But he was a lot like me. You know, when I picked my crumbled paper back up, he saw the waves moving under his feet. And maybe a little water splashed up on Peter's face. And suddenly, Peter was more focused on the storm than the man who had called him out of the boat in the first place. Now, I want you to look around you right now. Maybe look out the window at the weather. Maybe look at your home, or even get a mirror and look at yourself and write down three things that you see. You know, people see what they're looking to see, whatever that thing might be. My husband loves old cars, particularly Mustangs, but any old car will do. That sounds funny when you say it out loud. But he likes the antique, the model cars that have what I call character. And he's taught that to my son. And when they're out riding around together, they look everywhere, high and low, for these wonderful antique cars. And the other day, I was with my oldest son, and he pointed out, you know, I'm seeing a lot of antique cars recently. There must be a show in town. And I said, no, you're seeing them because that's what you're looking for. Because you see whatever it is you're trying to see. You know, I heard about this man named Frank. And Frank had a curious thing about him. Everywhere Frank went to work, they began finding lots of snakes. See, Frank had a massive fear of snakes. And he didn't want anyone bringing snakes around him or even really talking about snakes around him. So he was always on the lookout for snakes. And you know what? Frank managed to find snakes. Didn't matter where he was, didn't matter what he was doing, he found what he was looking for. I will confess to you that I used to have a complete unnatural fear of sharks. Now, I live in North Alabama, so sharks aren't really something that I encounter on a regular basis. So I'm going to blame Jaws because it came out about the time my fear started. And I also read a graphic novel that focused on the Megalodon, which is a shark that is huge. So the four times in my teenage life when I went down to the beach, I managed to see a shark. The last time that I went down as a teenager, and I refused to even get near the water other than to walk along the edge of the beach, a baby shark swam over my feet when the wave came crashing in. And I'm not kidding, y'all. That was enough. That settled it for me. My fear became so well known that my friends joked that because I wouldn't get close enough to the ocean, the sharks were going to learn to walk on water and come get me. You know, got to love the support of friends. And sure enough, flash forward to when I went to college. I went to college at the University of South Alabama in Mobile. My first night out, we began talking. I don't even know how we got to it, but we were talking about our biggest fears, and we were talking about my fear of sharks and how my friends joked that, you know, sharks were going to learn to walk on water. Well, my neighbor got me in his Jeep, and several of us went down to the park, which was about 2 miles from my dorm room. And in the park, he pulled up and shined the headlights on a sign. And the sign had a swimmer with, you know, the circle and the bar across it to tell you no swimming. And below it was an alligator with his mouth open. On the sign, not out in the field. Although, you know, apparently they do that at the city park in Mobile. So, for those who are not aware of it, alligators are actually sharks that walk on water, at least as far as my fear was concerned. That whole being afraid of these alligators, or the fear that I had had about sharks, transferred itself to the alligators. And I began to see sharks and alligators everywhere that I went down there. But, you know, I found that I was seeing the sharks and the alligators because I was looking for the sharks and the alligators. So what did you see when you looked around? We're going to take a test, and then we're going to come back to your list. So we're going to answer three questions. And you're going to give me your first thought when I ask you this question. Number one, imagine that you look out your window right now and a dark sky is moving quickly towards your home. What's your first thought? Number two, imagine that you step outside on a July day and the sun is beaming down and the temperature is already on the rise. What is your first thought? Imagine that the opportunity of a new job or a new path is suddenly presented to you. What is your first thought? These are three scenarios, all with wonderful possibilities, or at least interesting possibilities, but all with potential problems as well. Did you see the possibilities? Or was your focus on the problems? The things we choose to see in the moment will often direct our actions in the next moment. Peter saw a man walking on the water, but he saw his Savior walking on the water and wanted to be with him. But just a few moments later, Peter saw the waves. My attitude will either begin to devour me by crushing my hope and my peace, or my attitude will begin to drive me forward and drive me on as it grows my vision. But the choice is always mine. You know, I've been working hard to train myself to see the positive in all situations. But sometimes I see what my imagination creates or my worry creates. Now, I mentioned my unnatural fear of sharks that transferred itself into an unnatural fear of alligators. I lived down on the Gulf Coast for 4 years, and there were alligators all around, and there were sharks in the water, in the salt water. But when I came home to North Alabama, it's not actually the mega center of alligator world. As a matter of fact, I had never even concerned myself with alligators until after I lived in Mobile. And I come home and I found out that in the 70s, the government had released alligators in the Tennessee River in an area called Wheeler Wildlife Refuge in order to control the beaver population. I was not happy to find this out because the Gunnersville Lake that I live on, the Tennessee River runs through Gunnersville Lake. And anyone that's ever seen an alligator knows they swim, which to me said, if they're in the Tennessee River, then they are in Lake Gunnersville. So here I am in North Alabama, working with my husband on our property that's not on the lake. It's on a creek up above the lake. And we have been clearing the land for the last several days. And we've been pulling logs up out of this area and leaving them so that we could haul them off to burn later. My nephew came over and he and I were going to walk down at dusk to see to make sure that my husband and my father-in-law stopped at their work and came on in. And we came around the corner and my little nephew said, "Alligator." And my little heart stopped beating. My gut reaction was to turn tail and to run and to leave my nephew there to fend for himself. I saw what he was pointing at, and the worry and the fear that had been accumulating in me over the last few years because of alligators welled up. Now, I had helped pull out the log that he was pointing at. I had helped set that log where it was located. My intellect knew that that was a log, but the fear tried to tell me that it was not. Fortunately, my calmer side remained and reminded me that it was just a log. And I had helped put it in that exact location. I did not leave my nephew alone. But fear and worry will create the reality if we allow it to. If we give them the opportunity, then they will paint the picture the way they want the picture seen. The only way to prepare for the attacks of fear and worry is to continually condition the heart and the mind to be calmer than the situation might suggest. We have to learn to let the spirit override the flesh in those circumstances. Not too long ago, I was preparing to teach a conference on getting rid of stress. And the enemy has a way of attacking you in the very areas that you're about to share. And that was what happened with me. I was attacked so harshly in a family issue that the only thing I could do was hit my knees and cry out. I thought about running. You know, I thought about turning tail just like I did when I saw that log and running away. What do you do when bad things happen? The unexpected things? Or the difficult things come up against you? What do you do? For me, I had nowhere to turn. I couldn't run, even if I had wanted to run. Since I was already on my knees, I just talked to God. Now, yes, it was the talking that requires some screaming and some floor beating. Some people might not call that a prayer. But I think David would disagree. You know, on more than one of the Psalms, David's offering up the same kind of crying that I was offering up that day. He's in the same position, in the same condition that I was at that moment in my life. Now, I had a habit of prayer in my life at that time. Do you have a habit of prayer for your life right now? Is there a time in your day when you're sitting down and you're praying and you're talking to God and you're communicating with God in a normal routine? Because when those bad things, those unexpected things, those really difficult things come up against you, you need that habit of prayer to help your heart prevail against what's coming against you. Building a habit of prayer can happen with just three little tips that I use. Remember, it's all about making it simple and keeping it simple, whatever the it might be. Because if we keep it simple, it is easier to be consistent with that part of our lives. So tip one, commit to spending just 10 minutes each day talking with God. Remember, it's a conversation. Prayer is just a conversation. You spending time talking to God. Read a Psalms. Read out one of the Proverbs. If you read one Proverbs a day, then you will read the entire book of Proverbs every month. Go over a prayer list that you've written down. Or every time someone asks you, will you pray for me? Write their name down. Write down their prayer request. And go over that list in your 10 minutes. Schedule out these 10 minutes for the next 21 days. Just 21 days. That's all I'm asking for. And just 10 minutes a day. Tip two, create a prayer journal and write down any specific requests that you're making to God. Having the prayers written out and writing down the answers to those prayers will give you something tangible to look back on. It will allow you to see God at work in your life, especially when those difficult times come along. If you'll head over to my website, www.katherinelang.com/the league, you'll see that if you sign up to be part of the League of Extraordinary Hopers, you'll get a free Praying in Faith sheet. You'll also get a sheet that will help you read through Scripture every month. So that'll get your tip one and tip two covered just with these free handouts. Now, tip three is you're going to make prayer time a priority. And this can be the most difficult thing for us mothers and for women in general. We have so much going on in our lives. What do you mean you want prayer to be a priority? Stuff's going to try to get in the way of what you're doing. Excuses are going to come up. Reasons are always going to appear. The world will do whatever it can to conspire to keep you from focusing on prayer. you have to make the choice to refuse to give up your prayer time. I have children that I homeschool. I have a husband that's here with me during the day. And I have my father that I help with his stuff. And then my father-in-law lives right across the field. There will always be something that tries to get in the way. But I have settled in my heart and in my life through my actions that daily prayer is part of my walk. Until I settled into that and made that decision, things did get in the way. Keep in mind that stress is not going to have control unless we choose to give it control. It only has as much leverage as we allow it to have. So we have to block it out completely by making peace and contentment the grounding forces of our day. Now look at your list. You wrote down what you saw. Was it, like Philippians tells us, good, positive, and uplifting? Or did you see the negatives? If you will allow the positives to be the focus for your life and for your day, then those positives will be what drive you through that day. Will you pray with me? Lord, I choose at this moment to settle into what you have for me. You offer peace. You offer blessings. You offer contentment. The world will try to distract me with waves and with winds and with storms. But I understand that you are the one that calms those very waves and that very wind and those very storms. Thank you for growing us to the place where we live boldly in your peace and refuse to even allow stress access to our lives. Amen. Now I challenge you to make prayer more important than anything else you do. For the next 21 days, commit to that 10 minutes of alone time with God. And then visit me over at www.katherinelang.com and share your experiences. Let's encourage each other. Let's support each other in this journey. We're going to take one more break and we'll close out our time together.
R&D Computer Solutions, serving all your computer needs. We provide low-cost hosting options, complete website development, and online troubleshooting service. No matter what your needs, the staff at R&D Computer Solutions will be there to help you find the answer. Visit www.rdcss.com to learn more about R&D Computer Services, a family-owned and Christian-run quality computer business.
The sound of the door unlocking made her heart speed up. Her reasonable mind told her there was nothing on the other side, but reason had lost its argument long ago. It was time to face the past, no matter how much she wanted to run. Run, the pulse-quickening first novel in the Big Spring series from Katherine C. Lang. Don't look back. Get it today in paperback or ebook at Amazon.com or KatherineLang.com. Run.
We are growing hope.
Everywhere there's so much pressure. Around the clock, it never ends. Like a thief, it robs your pleasure. But only if you let it in. I just want to lay here in the silence. Feel the blood run through my veins. Got to somehow find my balance. 'Cause if I don't, I'll go insane. Many things I can't control.
but one thing I can is me. I can't do nothing about the view, so I'll just change what I see. I just wanna lay here in the silence, feel the blood run through my veins. Got to somehow find my balance. As if I take time to smell the roses. Well, that's what the old folks say. Take the bad in smaller doses. You can't drink the ocean in one day. Just wanna lay here in the silence, feel the blood run through my veins. Got the sun, I'll find my balance. If I don't, I'll go insane. Just wanna
there will always be an excuse. There will always be a reason not to keep going. There will always be something that tries to hinder my journey. In truth, the only thing that gets in the way of the journey looks back at me from the mirror every day. I am the only person, the only thing, that can hinder my success. Place and Purpose is a book that offers my own experiences with discovering that unique path and uncovering the truth that they don't hold the answers to my journey. I break it down to four simple questions: why, what, how, and when. When you answer these questions for yourself, then you will be closer to that unique place designed just for you. Here are some of the things that are being shared about Place and Purpose. Catherine shares many ways that you can get closer to God and begin to identify that missing part of your life. Place and Purpose offers practical tips for digging into a personal relationship with God so that I can recognize His purpose for my life. Catherine Lang has filled this book with wonderful advice for beginners, but also practical advice for the seasoned believer. Get your copy of Place and Purpose by visiting www.catherinelang.com/books and begin to answer the why, what, how, and when of your journey.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
Hey, welcome back to this last segment of Growing Hope. I am still Catherine Lang, and I'm still delighted to have you with me on this journey. I was going to tell you about an issue that ran between me and my husband there for a while. When he met me, I was a real firestorm. I'd take on any underdog, any situation that came up. I wanted to fix it all. And not too long ago, my husband got upset with me because I wasn't getting upset about the situation. Or whatever it was that was upsetting him at that time. You know, and come to think of it, I don't think this was an underdog situation. I think this was when we were lost. And it tends to be that when I navigate, we get lost more than when he does. But you know, the irony there is he still asks me to navigate. So who really has the problem there? But this particular time, he was really upset about the fact that we were lost. And I try so hard not to laugh at him because I have discovered that laughing at him only makes it worse. So he asked me, why doesn't this bother you? And it's a question that he's asked me on more than one occasion. I used to ask him back, you know, why does it bother you? But that's almost as bad as laughing, so I don't recommend it. But have you ever been in a conversation with someone who is just so upset? You know, one of those loop conversations where no matter what you say at that moment in time, it's not going to be a good response. This is one of those conversations we used to have in our marriage. It was the loop conversation of why aren't you upset? And there was no way for me to explain it to him. So I usually just let him rant, which is really all that he wanted to do anyway, because he knew I couldn't fix it, so he was just going to get it off his chest. But that was what he used to want to do. Over the last few years, he has been finding his way to a much calmer place. He is finding his way to the still waters. He is beginning to turn his focus around to the one that calms the storms. My growing hope desire for you is that you can grow your focus to that of Christ and his provision so that you no longer feel the necessity of carrying the burdens yourself. Worry will mangle you. Stress will strangle you. But God has made a way for your healing and for your help. May today be the first day you choose to leave that paper crumbled and to focus on the peace and the joy of the one that calms the storms. Wow, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to take a little journey with me on joy and hope and encouragement. I look forward to spending more time with you down the road and growing relationships that will allow us to stand firm against the world. Remember, keep that paper crumbled up and continue to feed that word into your life. If you visit my website and you sign up to be part of the League of Extraordinary Hopers, you can get those free handouts that are going to help you start that prayer of faith and start that reading of the word every day. The challenge was 10 minutes, and I hope that you can really spend that 10 minutes doing that. Until then, let's look to connect during the week on Facebook, on the website, on Twitter. Let's grow hope and grow joy in our lives. See you next week. And until then, be blessed. And in all that you're doing, be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Catherine Lang. Catherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Catherine's website at www.catherinelang.com. That's www.catherinelang.com. Catherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Catherine with queries or questions at contactus@catherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.catherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.
Got hope? Growing Hope seeks to instill the courage that your heart needs to live out the bold life grounded in hope. The monthly newsletter offers tips, inspirational stories, and scriptures to help grow up hearts that are open to pursue the extraordinary. Visit katherinelang.com/promotion and sign up and receive A Moment of Hope, the Growing Hope monthly newsletter.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.